Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, at the 2010 Council of Conservative Citizens National Board of Directors meeting. I'm James Edwards. He's Bill Rowland. And the audience is going to give you a big rebel yell right now. All right. We are in room 419 here at...
In Nashville.
In Nashville, near the Opryland. And as we are broadcasting from room 419, people driving around in their cars in Memphis, Tennessee, and Portland, Oregon, and all places in between are listening to us. It's all originating from this room, and we got a standing room only crowd, and we're very excited to be able to perform for the fans here in the flesh.
You know, James, you're right. It's almost like a Woodstock environment here. I mean, you know, we've got people lying around and everybody's talking and everybody's having a big time. Of course, we don't have the drugs and the sex, but
never. Well, we can get there.
But the spirit is there. You know, the spirit is there that this is a monumental moment in history. And we're going to take advantage of that. And you know, some more people just walked in. We're going to get them over here to talk in just a second. But, you know, let's have an open mic session.
And again, according to...
We already had Ro on. He's standing here.
It is an open mic night. So just remember, FCC rules...
They're taking their coats off.
They're getting ready.
Here it comes. Come here. You.
I got you. Come here.
I know your name. Come over here.
Listen, these
white kids.
Hey, the thing is, we're live tonight. It's all fun. It's happy hour at the political cesspool. And we've got a lot of celebrities in the room tonight, if you could believe it. We got Don Black laying down with the Samuel Adams.
Hey.
But he hasn't started drinking yet.
No, the cap's still on the bottle.
He just walked in. We're going to let him start drinking after.
Oh, he's going to talk.
Come on, Don.
We just had his son, Derek, his cohort in the Don and Derek Black Show. You've heard from Kyle Rogers, CFCC webmaster, Tom. Yeah, Tom Dover made it.
Tom Dover made it. Absolutely.
Roan Garcia, Quintana, and a lot of other people here in the room tonight. But Don Black, a great friend of mine. And he's got a lot to say.
You know,
a lot of war stories to share.
We do not disown our own kind. And Don is one of the great heroes, I think, of our movement because he pioneered the internet as a source for the truth. And I think we all should say, God bless Don Black for doing that.
Amen.
Because this was an original thing. Thank you, Don. God bless you.
You know, we were talking to Derek briefly in the previous or in fact, the most previous segment about the Don and Derek Black Show. They're doing great work down there in West Palm Beach on AM radio and, of course, via the internet as well. And I don't know what Don could add that Derek didn't already say, but I'd certainly like to give him the opportunity.
Well, I'm going to ask Don. You know, Don, as a pioneer of internet information, let's say it that, of the internet age and of information technology, what do you see in the future? Are we going to prevail in this battle against left-wing terrorism, which is really it is. It's left-wing terrorism. You're a victim. A lot of people have been victims of that. What's going to happen in the next 5 years?
Or does the internet get shut down completely?
When I first set up Stormfront, we were the first pro-white race realist site on the net. And everyone was amazed by the fact that all of a sudden, out of the blue, something nobody expected, a new media, basically, a new opportunity through the net. Because for decades, I and many other people in this room and here at this conference had been working hard to try to get our message across to millions of Americans. But about the only alternative we had to the controlled media, to all of the TV networks, and there were, in the 60s, there were only two news networks in the 60s. ABC didn't have news. There were only the broadcast networks, didn't have cable, and the big newspapers, who were almost all owned by big conglomerates like Newhouse, which bought up all the three top major newspapers in my home state of Alabama, just south of here, where we are now, where I grew up.
And that's USA Today, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So there was no real alternative. Occasionally we could get our point, maybe a point or two across through the control of media, but there was no opportunity to really reach our people with our message unfiltered through an unbiased source. And the internet came along. It had been developed, invented by
Al Gore.
Wrong.
Al Gore.
Absolutely not. It was invented in the early 1974 by some very creative and intelligent people. But it was still just a small network of computer networks, a network of computer networks at the time, and was only accessible to a few researchers and later government and military people, a few universities later. Nobody had ever heard of the internet really until the early 1990s at the earliest, and it was not accessible to anybody until it wasn't accessible to the general public until 1993, when one of the online services, Delphi, which has since gone away. There were several online services. CompuServe was one of the first. Then Prodigy, America Online came a little later. But none of them knew anything. They didn't realize the internet was coming. So they only had access if you subscribed, and it cost quite a bit to subscribe. They had hourly charges. I know CompuServe charged $12.50 an hour just to access
wow.
the network.
Wow.
So it wasn't until 93 that one of these services started offering access to the internet, which nobody had really ever heard of outside of a few researchers. And it was 93, still most people hadn't heard about it. But around 1995, the World Wide Web became generally accessible with new software. At that time, it was called Netscape, or it was Netscape, still called that. But they were the first to really make a browser that made it very easy to navigate the internet.
1 minute, break.
Okay, that's the way we do. Yeah, that's.
Hey, it's different here in the hotel room than it is in your studio, Doc. Well,
in our studio, we have a very helpful black engineer. Who,
what?
That's an oxymoron.
No, he is. He really is. He's very helpful. He's very, very supportive. I'm not supportive, but he's very helpful with a lot of our stuff. We have two engineers. We have a white guy and we have a black guy.
Well, now you got 30 seconds.
Okay. So the internet really opened up a lot of doors for us. All of a sudden, we could reach millions of people. And now, of course, if just about anybody has internet access that wants it anywhere in the world. So they can hear our message unfiltered. Well, now we've made it full circle. From the 1920s, when AM radio became wildly popular with here in Nashville and others, we are back to AM radio and the internet.
And Don Black helped pioneer it all, everybody. We'll be back with more on the Political Cesspool right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Coming back to you live from room 419 in Opryland at Opryland in Nashville, Tennessee. James Edwards and Bill Rowland. It's Saturday evening, November 6th. We're broadcasting via the internet, of course, but also to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM in Memphis. Everything you're hearing right now, ladies and gentlemen, originating from this jam-packed bedroom with all these Political Cesspool fans. Folks, let them hear you around the world. Bill, and speaking about our fans around the world, and I want to issue this apology very quickly. It's been a very busy October for a lot of different reasons for me. I've got several hundred emails in the inbox that I've not yet had the chance to respond to. So if you're waiting on a reply, I promise I'll get to them. Reading actually a couple of letters that came in the mail. We read one a moment ago from a listener in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Now we've got one from Hyattsville, Maryland, and he writes, "Dear James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Bill Rowland, and all of the Cesspool folks, I commented on your Rachel Maddow blog entry that it was time for me to send in a donation, and here it is." And this letter, I can vouch, had a donation included. "I don't use credit cards. I was saving up for an MP3 player to play Political Cesspool podcast through my car stereo. Decided I could wait a few weeks and send you this donation instead. If you folks can sacrifice week after week to defend Europeans, then I can sacrifice as well by delaying a few days something for my situation. Would be a convenience. I normally download your podcast Saturday night and listen to them on my laptop. When and how much to donate is something you know in your heart, and I knew after you got national exposure on MSNBC that, for me, the time was now. I went to customer service counter of my local grocery store and got as much money order as two $20 bills would buy. Here, then, is my humble donation of $39.50, and he has a little smiley face icon. Although it remains unpopular to advocate for the preservation of European people and their culture, you continue to do so, and do so in a way that is very positive and offers hope to Europeans all over the world. I'm very excited about your video project and looking forward to a quality product. Thanks for being so positive. Thanks for getting the message out, and thanks for keeping up the good work." That comes from Alan in Hyattsville, Maryland. Bill Rowland, verify that what I read was legitimate.
It's been verified officially.
Yeah. All right, everybody, give it up for Alan. Political Cesspool listener Alan in Maryland. Did I say Maryland, or did I say
Maryland?
That's where he's from. And so all over the world, Bill, we continue to elicit this sort of response via email, via snail mail, and it's truly an honor in all seriousness that we don't take lightly to be able to serve as the voice for so many of our kinsmen. This is truly a high honor indeed.
It is a high honor to serve you, our audience. Believe me, we never ever forget that our audience is the most important part of this show. And I see our president, Tom Dover, is exiting the building right now. Tom Dover's leaving the building, but that's okay because he gave us a good interview, and we love him. But, you know, the fact is, without you people out there, we would not be here right now. James, pay attention.
I'm saying goodbye to a couple of people.
That's important too.
Brian Garcia Quintana now leaving the room, also room 419, Opryland.
All right. And so anyway, you know, the thing is that without you folks out there, we wouldn't be here right now. And God bless you all. All I got to say, James, is, you know, what a wonderful audience. And of course, unfortunately,
God knows we can't get sponsors.
So. God knows we can't get sponsors. Is right.
Except for the Council of Conservative Citizens. But anyway. So this show is largely listener supported, and those listeners have never failed us. Now that we're in our seventh year of broadcasting, been at this since October 26th of 2004, and the amount of media attention that we've garnered has been well documented. The number of prestigious guests has been well documented, and the continuation of that is allowed is because of our listening audience, and every time we get a letter, an email, a donation, it really means a lot to us. We don't take it for granted. It's never expected, but always appreciated.
Absolutely.
And I don't think it's something we say enough, Bill. No. It should be said every program, and we're taking the opportunity to say it now and read a couple of letters that came
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
So where do we go from here? We got a half an hour to fill.
We go from here, I think.
Hill been on the show yet?
No, David has not been on the show, but no, he's signaling no thanks. He's not ready for
this.
He's not a public figure.
I wouldn't say that. He's been on this show two or three times before.
Well, he's not.
And I tell you, he organizes the best regional meetings.
But God bless him, is all I can say.
I've given a lot of speeches at a lot of meetings, and David Hill turns out the people.
A true patriot.
Jackson.
Absolutely. Yep. True patriot. Thank you, David. And we're going to say that on the air right now.
I wouldn't out him again. If he hadn't been on this show before, I wouldn't out him.
Right. Absolutely a great patriot, and he's one of the ones that we owe our existence to, I might add. You know, he helps us a lot.
Yeah.
So,
and by the way, the bar is open, ladies and gentlemen.
The bar is open.
Room, and
the Political Cesspool Lounge.
Happy hour, political cesspool, and
happy hour is now in the third hour.
We're not Happy hour here at the Political Cesspool isn't like happy hour at your local bar. It's
right.
a three-hour event here.
You get three for one in the Political Cesspool.
And not only are we hosting a live worldwide audience on the radio and a live studio audience in this hotel room, we're also hosting a live cocktail assembly and people. I can't wait till the show ends so we can drink something other than water, Bill. That's going to be enjoyable. And this water is getting a little stale now, so I got. We're waiting for that.
James,
about 30
James,
more minutes, we'll be there.
We're still topical here. We're still on top.
That's right. Still 30 minutes. Right, and accentuate to the audience what they're missing if they're not here live.
Right. It's a shame you're. But the fact is, we are having fun, but we're still serious about what we're doing.
That's absolutely right.
We're serious business here. And, you know, James, again, getting back to the elections, just for a moment.
And this is how we opened the show
two and a half hours ago. And I think the important issue here is that we hold anyone who is in elected office to a standard that indicates or that insists that we as a people are going to be represented and not just ideas or abstract notions about government. You know, I've said on this show a while back that forget talking about the Constitution. Let's talk about something flesh and blood. Let's talk about our people and what's good for our people and what our people are facing in the near future. I mean, we've been told by Bill Clinton and others that we should be celebrating the fact that we've become a minority. And
he said that in so many words.
He said that in so many words. And I didn't hear George Bush or any of the current administration contradict that or challenge it. In other words, George Bush is on the same wavelength as Bill Clinton, and that is just get ready for the fact that you're going to be a minority. Well, you know what? If we're going to be a minority, then we should insist on the same privileges that minorities have received over the past 50 years.
And we should keep in mind, Bill, that if current demographic trends prevail, the founding stock of this nation will, in fact, be a minority group in a couple of more decades, God forbid. Because, as we said, God forbid why? Because you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. This country, to me, is more than a flop house. It's more than a dumping ground, and I don't want to see America become the next Haiti. As Keith Alexander so eloquently put it, Haiti has the French language and a French judicial system, but you don't mistake Haiti for France. And so I don't want that to happen to America. But if it does, will we be afforded the same privileges that the current minorities are?
Well, when we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit more about Haiti, because I think that's a very important issue right now, considering they're now facing a hurricane. And how well prepared is Haiti for a hurricane? They're still living in the tent cities that we built for them after the earthquake. Remember, who's in charge here? Who relies on who when you're talking about the third world? We'll be right back, folks.
And that's forthcoming right after this last commercial break. Still have an hour to go, though, believe it or not. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, everything we talk about here on the program, if you love the radio show, you're really going to love the website. Check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org, thepoliticalcesspool.org. James Edwards and Bill Rowland here with you. We are burning the midnight oil, and we got a half an hour left, a couple of segments. So stay tuned here on the Political Cesspool. We'll be right back to start wrapping it up right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls
don't cry. It's always good to hear Art Frith's voice, even if it is just in our bumper music. Art Frith, the classic producer of the Political Cesspool radio program. Bill Rowland actually has him plugged in here on his Skype as we're broadcasting live from a hotel room in Nashville tonight. Art Frith, the Lord of the Board, when radio was fun.
When radio was electric. You know, I mean, Art's been in radio since I think it was hand cranked.
I think he did hand cranked a few of our early shows, actually.
But God bless, we couldn't have made it without Art.
That's the truth. And he provided a lot of direction and structure and discipline for this show. back in our early days, many moons ago. But Ben, we're having a good time tonight. It's always a good time. Listen, folks, if you think that we're having a good time, number one, you're right. But we wish you could be here to enjoy it with us. And you can be. All you've got to do is go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and join our email list. Subscribe to our email list. And we make public appearances from time to time, as we're making tonight in Nashville in front of a packed room. And we'd like to have you be a part of meeting us in public when we venture out of the studios and take our work to the streets. So in order to do that, you just got to let us know who you are, and we'll send you all the updates that are worthy to be published. Again, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and sign up for our email list. And keep in mind also, I have to make mention of this, that this is a listener-supported radio program. We may be volunteers, but we do have bills associated with the cost of production. If you enjoy the program and the message and uplifting atmosphere that we bring to you each week here on the syndicated airwaves, consider making us a donation. But, Bill, last segment we were talking about Haiti.
Haiti, exactly.
Do you remember
because
that?
You know what's being prepared for us already is the pity package of Haiti. Now, the United States in particular rushed to the aid of Haiti after the earthquake, after the this ridiculous 200,000 number was broadcast and was publicized as being the number of casualties in Haiti. Nobody even knows how many people live in Haiti, much less how many people might have been killed in that Haiti earthquake. I guarantee it was nothing close to that 200,000 figure. But what you're going to see very soon...
If I can interject, there wasn't a celebrity in the world that wasn't raising money for Haiti.
Not for Haiti.
We don't like to see anyone suffer, but my God.
The bottomless pit of the third world. Now, keep in mind, everyone out there listening, that Haiti is in a temperate zone of the equator. That is, a place where you're not going to freeze to death and where, you know, you can pretty much sleep outdoors night and day. And these individuals in Haiti are living in tents, and already we're being prepared for yet another intervention in the Haiti tragedy, and which means that these tent cities are going to be blown away. My big question is, why haven't the Haitians been rebuilding their cities and be rebuilding their neighborhoods in the interim this earthquake?
And it's not because of racism, because first of all, the only thing that the first world, a.k.a. white nations have done is give them money. But secondly, there were no white racists in Haiti to begin with because the Haitians killed them all. They killed them all.
Back in the 1700s, I might add, before the United States.
The racism, you know, hasn't been...
Not a factor.
If all whites are racist, which, of course, you know, I write that in my book, the modern day definition of racist is simply a white person. All whites are racist. All racism is anything a white person does that liberals don't like. But nevertheless, racism couldn't exist in Haiti because all the whites were dead.
Well, here's what you're going to see on the news very shortly. You're going to see Haitians with their arms outstretched, their mouths wide open, and, you know, give us some more money, give us some more money, give us some more money. This is a country that has utterly failed to implement its own recovery after a major natural disaster.
Who helped? You know, we're in Nashville, Tennessee tonight, and I think that's significant.
Right.
Nashville, Tennessee suffered one of the greatest... One of the greatest natural disasters in American history. I mean, truly, and that's not an exaggeration, the floods of Nashville that happened earlier this spring. Opryland Hotel just now reopened. The Opry Mills Mall, which is one of the biggest malls in the country, is still closed. One of the biggest natural disasters in American history. And, you know,
nobody is unloading rice in front of the Opryland facility.
And there's one difference.
You know, there are no National Guardsmen out here bringing yet more and more food to the natives here. The point is this, that we live in a first world country, they live in a third world country, and yet there is no responsibility, no accountability when it comes to restoring their own standard of living, whatever that is. That is, they're going to continue to hold, to have outstretched arms and mouths wide open, and what are you going to do for us next? There is no reciprocity, James. They're not going to do anything for the United States ever.
No, never. And when the next 100 million in aid comes into Haiti, guess what? You're still going to be a racist.
Yeah, that's right. You're still going to be a racist. It doesn't matter. The amount of money is no signifier for whether or not you're a racist.
You can never absolve yourself from the guilt that they're laying at your feet. And that's not to say that you shouldn't be kind and benevolent to anyone. You know, as the Greeks said, all things in moderation, even a virtue when taken to an extreme. can be detrimental. There's nothing wrong with being charitable or philanthropic. I think each individual can give to whomever they choose. But if you think you're going to pay your way out of the whole racism shtick, you're wrong.
Right.
You're never going to get out of it.
This is a problem with the whole third world. And the notion is that when the third world has a problem, the first world should rush in and become the savior. And the fact is that is
how many Haitians donated?
That's an endless proposition.
How many Haitians donated to help the displaced people that suffered in Nashville earlier this year?
The answer is zero. And the answer is zero from any part of the third world. The third world is never going to be a benefactor.
It's zero also from America other than Tennesseans.
Right. Tennesseans took care of themselves. But the fact is that the third world has nothing to offer the first world. And as long as we keep pouring our wealth and our resources into the third world, the people in the third world are simply going to feel that that is owed to them by the first world. And the fact is we've done a great disservice to people in these areas because we have given them the artificial sense of security that is provided by people in Europe and America. And that's really an injustice because, you know, no matter what you are or where you are, you have to live in your own environment, James, and you have to learn to deal with the conditions that exist wherever you live. And if we continue to rush in and drop all this aid, it's simply a way of saying, you see, you're so greatly inferior to people in the West that your existence depends on us. And that's unfair. And it's unfair to us because we're providing this aid
at the expense of our own families.
At the expense of our own families. And the other thing is we're saying no matter what happens, you can always depend on us to bail you out. You know, James, right now in Ethiopia, Ethiopia is about to become the largest populous country in Africa.
And I didn't even know that.
Yes. And the reason is because we rushed in all this aid to Ethiopia when they were starving. Now, that's not so bad on the face of it. The point is we attached no consequences to that. We didn't say, all right, you know, if you're going to get this money and all this aid from us, you have to have some responsibility for your own people. They didn't do that. They have continued warring with each other. They continued breeding without restraint. And because they expect sooner or later, we're just going to send them more food if they start starving to death. We can't afford that anymore. Right now in this country, we're barely sustaining ourselves in terms of our, you know, where we live, how much money we have for food. There are people in this country who have no jobs. We can't afford anymore to sustain and support the third world because of their own incapacity for responsibility. It's not our fault.
You would think if racism was the scourge of humanity, you know, so-called racism, and I must put that in quotations, you know, all white people are racist. We were born racist and we'll never be able to pardon ourselves from the sins of our fathers, you know, according to liberal dogma. You would think that Haiti would be the most prosperous nation in the world. They haven't had any whites down there in, you know, 200-300 years. And yet, in fact, the exact opposite is true.
Well, during the early part of the, or the later part of the 18th century, Haiti was called the jewel of the French Empire.
Jewel of the Caribbean, yeah.
The jewel of the Caribbean, because it produced more wealth than any other part of that region. And now Haiti is virtually a burned out cinder of that jewel. I mean, it's a lump of coal.
And there's only one variable in play there, Bill. The people who used to be there are there no more.
The variable is race. Let's get a hold of ourselves. It's race, everybody. And no, the Haitians will not pull themselves out of a disaster. They'll count on us to do it.
And when we come back for the final segment of tonight's broadcast, gentlemen, and what a great show it's been. Rachel Maddow and the other liberals are terrified. Why are they terrified? We're going to give you the answer when the political cesspool concludes tonight, right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
It's hard to believe that the last segment of tonight's broadcast is now upon us. It's gone by truly in the blink of an eye. And as Bill Rollin, hey, rebel yell if anybody's still paying attention.
Yeehaw!
Bill Rollin and I were just marveling during the commercial break that we have completely lost the studio audience. You know, for about 2.5 hours, they were attentively listening to our broadcast. But over the course of the last 15 minutes,
we've become victims of social networking.
That's it. very well put, Bill. They're all fellowshipping amongst themselves, and we are now just the background noise of
our audience.
Of our audience, that's right. So the political cesspool no longer even the star of the show in our own hotel room as we broadcast live tonight from Nashville, Tennessee.
Sad.
Hey, but listen, hopefully you at home and as you drive around in your cars tonight are still listening to us.
Well, you know, James,
we've lost our audience.
I think our intent from the beginning was to bring people together, and now we're being overwhelmed by our own intentions.
That's right. We've got love connections taking place here in the room, and I tell you, folks, it's all happening.
It's Woodstock tonight. We managed to hit the Woodstock.
Right-wing
Woodstock.
Woodstock. It's it. It's been fun, though. I tell you, it's been fun. It's always fun to take the show on the road. It's always fun to get out of the studio and go meet with the people who listen to the show and the guests who appear on our show each week, to have them on live as we've done tonight and with quite a few people. Great fun here in Nashville tonight. If you want to be a member of this, join the Council of Conservative Citizens, cfcc.org, and of course, join the mailing list of the Political Cesspool radio program at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and there you will be kept informed of any time we do anything like this, which happens a couple of times a year, Bill. We do these things.
We like to do these live shows because it's really an interaction between the audience and the audience. I mean, the audience is live and the audience is on the radio. And, you know, it doesn't always go perfectly, but the point is that we're real people here.
It's raw. It's unrehearsed.
Raw, it's all raw. It's unrehearsed. And we're real people.
Unscripted.
Here.
We don't play characters here on the radio program the way we come across on the air is the way we are in real life, and we love networking with the people who get something of value from
us. You know, we can't always repeat the jokes we hear, but nevertheless, we've laughed about them together.
Well, thank God that we're not on live during the commercial breaks, that's for sure. But nevertheless, it's been fun, and we want you to be a part of this fun the next time we do something like this. But to conclude the show tonight, Rachel Maddow and other liberals are terrified because white conservatives are starting to make it clear that calling them racist, quote-unquote, of course, is less and less effective. And though more and more white people just laugh when they hear the term racist, and some are actually starting to wear it as a badge of honor, as we started doing about the better part
about 6 years ago.
Half a decade ago. You know, I know a great book about that very topic, which every conservative should read. I don't know if you know it.
We've been there, done that. Right
now. Racismbook.com, everybody. Racismbook.com. Now, Rachel Maddow, though, getting back to the point, said she'd been very troubled by some Republican candidates, namely Republican Senate candidate Sharon Angle of Nevada, whose campaign strategy involved purposeful racial insensitivity, according to Maddow, who, of course, had the political cesspool in her crosshairs a couple of weeks ago. You've seen some Republicans wearing races as a badge of honor. That's something that they're trying to turn into a positive, Maddow said. That's not new in America, but I think that it is new in the modern-day incarnation of American politics. Maddow, who describes the period leading up to this week's midterms election as frantic, says some conservatives are counting on being called racist because they feel it will translate into votes. Bill, what's in play there?
Let's just take this right down to the nitty gritty. Rachel Maddow is a Jewish lesbian, and her interests as a Jewish lesbian are what really form the basis of her opposition to everything that the political cesspool represents, which is Christian white America. Now, James, we weren't going to bring this up on the show, but I think we should make a brief reference to Tim Wise.
I asked Bill
the Daily
before
Kos,
the show,
and I disagreed with you. I said, "No, I don't agree." We're gonna make a quick reference to Tim Wise of the Daily Kos, also a Jewish person of Jewish persuasion.
And what did he write recently?
He wrote recently that he virtually, well, you can go to Daily Kos and read it yourself. DailyKos.com.
Or ThePoliticalCesspool.org.
Or ThePoliticalCesspool.org. And read what he writes about white Christian America. It's a vicious, bloody attack against our people. You think that Tim Wise is going to suffer any sort of negative impact or negative reaction to what he said? No, of course not. Because his people control the media. His people control what is broadcast over the airwaves. So no, even though he says that he looks forward to the day when whites no longer have a voice in the political actions of the United States or any sort of political, you know, power. He absolutely has this joy over the fact that white Americans are going to be disempowered in this country. Rachel Maddow is exactly the same sort of character. And these are the people we're out to defeat, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to defeat them. We're going to fight them over the airwaves. We're going to fight them everywhere we can. The Tim Wises and the Rachel Maddows in this world are not going to prevail over us.
And Bill is exactly right in that. And I'll tell you the truth. Everything that we do on this radio show, we do this at our own expense, physically and certainly financially, not spiritually, because there's something to be gained spiritually from fighting and defending your family. But as Christians, I will tell you, and this is a Christian radio program, everything that we do on this radio program stems from the love that we have for our people, for our culture, for our heritage. There is no hate in this radio program. But as I said before, what is love if not loving your own family more than strangers? And I think that that's an accurate description and depiction.
And Rachel Maddow is a stranger, and that's Tim Wise. That's strange.
Well, there you go. And so, nevertheless, you know, we seek to defeat them in the court of public opinion. We seek to defeat them on the battlefield of politics, and hopefully through what example we're able to set on this radio show, and I hope that it's an example of courage that will inspire others to be courageous in their actions and to speak up and to speak out on behalf of what they love and what they hold dear. And we've been doing it for a long time now, Bill, you know, certainly much longer than a lot of right-of-center political organizations, going into our seventh year of broadcasting now on this program and to more and more media attention. You know, this summer has been huge for us, MSNBC, CNN. You know, we've been covered by 105 different newspapers since June. A lot of that due to the interview we did with Mel Gibson's father. And by the way, I just got an email from him today, Hutton. Great guy. I mean, you know, these are the friends.
And we're going to have him back on, all you jackasses who think that we would abandon him.
And, you know, we're equally proud. I don't know what I'm more proud of. Our friends or our enemies, because I'm proud to be on the hit list of organizations like the PLC.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly proud to have friends like Pat Buchanan and Ted Nugent and Hutton Gibson in our corner. And these are people who have appeared, on our program numerous times and will continue to appear as we seek to advance the cause of paleoconservatism, as we seek to advance Christianity. You know, we're going to commit a hate crime on the air live in December. We're going to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. So stay tuned for that. Live hate crime on the air. We will wish everyone a Merry Christmas in December. And so, you know, folks, I guess in summation, it's been fun tonight. I hate to say the least. It's been
way too much fun, really.
I don't know where we're going to go from here, Bill. I guess
home.
Or to the honky tonk.
No, the honky tonk. That's the great thing about Nashville is that this is really a cultural center for white America, and it's a cultural center because it's the people here are not ashamed to say, you know, we're proud of being country, we're proud of being from a rural
from the south,
and they make that, you know, there's no shame here, and so if only the country were a little bit more like Nashville, the country Nashville, then I think a lot of our problems would be on the way to solution.
Well, you know, Tennessee is the home to three of my most favorite Americans. And in order, I might add, Nathan Bedford Forrest, Davy Crockett, and Jack Daniels. And I'm going to I'm going to become a little more acquainted with Jack after this program concludes as we head out into the night and celebrate another great broadcast here with our listening audience, a few of which are assembled in this room tonight. But it has been, in all seriousness, folks, a great show. Thank you for tuning in to our program tonight. We look forward to bringing you another live installment next week here on the Liberty News Radio Network. On behalf of the entire Political Cesspool hosting staff, Keith Alexander, Eddie Miller, Winston Smith, and, of course, the man who's been by my side for all 3 hours tonight, Bill Rowland, I am James Edwards, reminding you to live life the way we do without retreat, surrender, or apology. Good night, everyone, and God bless. And thanks again. Thanks again to our crowd tonight in Nashville and to all the guests who made an appearance. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week on the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And I know, Bill, you have a final word.
Happy landings, everybody, and tune in next week.
Good night.
Joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.